Hi, and thank you very much for joining us today for this webinar on developing a sales and marketing strategy. Microsoft has put quite a bit of resources into putting together this series of webinars to help ISVs move their business from on-prem to cloud. I've been working with ISVs for more than 20 years, helping them develop the right go-to-market strategies for their technologies. So I've been through the technology and business cycles from mainframes to client-server to the ASP bubble and now the cloud. That puts me in a position to really see business and technology as a continuum rather than things that are very disruptive. We've been partnering with Microsoft since 2006, and we worked with hundreds of their ISVs all over the world with all different types of technologies and platforms. This is part of a series of webinars. This is number 3, developing a sales and marketing strategy. We've already been through changing your business operations, the fundamental decisions, the strategic decisions that you need to make. We've talked about the target markets for a cloud solution. And in the next ones, we'll discuss pricing, which is always a big issue for ISVs as they're moving to the cloud. Financial metrics, how you measure your performance on an ongoing basis to make sure you're staying out of trouble if you're moving to a subscription model. And finally, the legal issues that are specific to software as a service. As you can tell, this content is being taped, but I will be logging in for a live Q&A. So if you're also logging in to see this live, please stick around, ask your questions, and I will be very happy to answer them. The topics that we'll be talking about today, we're going to talk about managing the sales funnel, because the sales funnel becomes a little bit different when you're moving to the cloud. The use of free trials, the importance of market segmentation, how you compensate salespeople. Again, a very, very common question as you're moving from on-prem to the cloud. What's the compensation model going to be? Can we use the same salespeople? And then finally, we talk about how you track quotas, because setting, measuring, and tracking quotas in the cloud is a lot different than when you're selling an on-premise solution. So let's start with marketing. If you look at the traditional sales funnel of driving traffic through campaigns all the way through to sales, the job for marketing traditionally has been the front end. It's lead generation, it's generating interest, it's getting people to the table. And then sales would typically take over and complete the transaction. What we are finding in the cloud is that the roles are changing. Marketing is taking a much bigger part of the sales cycle. This is marketing automation as well as sales automation. That when you're selling a cloud application on a subscription model, you want to push off the human involvement or human interaction in the sales process as much as possible, because human resources cost money. So to the extent that you can automate the marketing process and you can start closing the sales, moving the sales process forward through the marketing cycle, you become more profitable. So let's look at managing the funnel and what the funnel looks like and the steps involved with a cloud application. First of all, the biggest difference with the cloud versus on-prem is that the customer is now in control. When you're selling an on-premise solution, you're typically contacting the company, you're sitting down and explaining the benefits, the product features, and why they should need it and why they should buy your solution. In the cloud, the customer takes a lot more responsibility for doing their own market research. Normally, you'll find that they already know what they need, they looked at the different options, and they are much more in control of the sales process themselves. So it's really important for you to understand what their needs are, what their behavior is, so that you can map your sales process to the new user behaviors. And then the process is very much use and buy. So we'll talk about free trials, but the engagement of the customer, their self-engagement in the sales process is very important. So you need to establish what the rules of the game are in a free trial, have a real product experience. They need to be successful. It needs to be very easy for them to buy the product once a trial is done. When we look at marketing, there are different types of marketing. Outbound marketing is one-to-many. That's where you are reaching out to the customer or the target market through advertising, telemarketing, trade shows, direct mail, where you're sending your message from you out to a large audience. The inbound marketing is many-to-one, and this is where social media marketing comes in. This is where you are bringing the traffic into your website, into your news feeds, your social media feeds, many to one. So SEO, search engine optimization, search engine marketing, blogging, social media, RSS, trials, freemium viral videos, all of those are designed to bring a large audience to focus on your message. Marketing automation, and this is a topic that could probably take a 2-hour webinar on its own, but I just want to emphasize the importance of marketing automation. It's so critical to drive down your cost of sales, your customer acquisition costs in the cloud, because you're collecting less money up front. So the marketing automation helps generate the interest, moves the customer through the funnel, lets you manage and measure the conversion cycles to see where you're doing well, where you're not doing well. There are a number of solutions out there. Do a search on marketing automation and you'll find lots of different solutions, from very complex, expensive solutions to smaller, easier to use solutions. So what's the most powerful word in marketing? It's the most powerful word today. It's always been the most powerful word, and it's free. People like things that are free. And this is where the pilots come in, the free trials come in. An essential part of the marketing strategy for a cloud solution. When you are selling an on-premise solution, a very big part of your sales cycle is devoted to getting the customer to install your product, to use it, to fall in love with it. The cloud makes this so much simpler because in many cases, there's a free trial available on the website where you drive traffic to the web, engage the customer, qualify the customer, and then they have a method for logging on and testing out the product, finding out if it's right for them. This is the sole purpose of on-premise selling, is to get customers to use the product. This can be automated in a cloud environment. So free trials, they're really important. There are certain steps in this process. First of all, they have to be easy to use. If the free trial is complicated, requires a lot of logins, a lot of customization, then it's not going to work. It needs to be very self-paced, self-service. A free trial has to be the full functionality, and I'll talk about the difference between freemium and free trials later, but a free trial is a full function product where they can test it out and see everything that the product does. If you have a free trial that has limited functionality, it's going to reflect on the product. The customer won't necessarily know that, oh, there's 3 or 4 things that I would really like to have that I can't see right now. They're just going to think that your product doesn't offer the function set, the feature set that they're looking for. If you are putting in limitations, then a lot of times in a free trial, the limitation could be a certain period of time, certain number of users, certain amount of storage. There might be some physical limitations that you build into the free trial so that you're not giving them full access to the product. Then you need to explain that so they don't think that this is just a limitation in the product itself. Limit the duration. What we're saying is the typical duration is 30 days, and now we're starting to see a move from 30-day free trial to 14 days. The idea being that if they haven't triggered the free trial in 14 days, they probably won't trigger it in 30 days. So you might as well cut them off early rather than letting them sit there with access to the product when they don't have any real intent of using it or buying it. I mentioned before, in fact, in the first webinar, that SaaS is a communications platform. It is absolutely essential that you have an ongoing communications process with your prospects during the free trial. You can't just let them log on, leave them to their own devices, and expect that they're going to buy the product. There's an Irish company that has a really nice accounting tool for the SMB market. The company's called Big Red Cloud, and they have a 43% conversion rate from free trial to signed deal. They have a very structured 4-step process. So the minute somebody signs up for a free trial, they get an email outlining these are the things that are going to happen over the next 30 days. And then they follow up on that. So they provide guidance. Some of that is tutorials, some of it is videos, and at some point a salesperson gets involved to answer any questions that they have. But you cannot just leave the customers to their own devices. And at the end of the day, you have to make it easy for them to pay. If they've provided a certain amount of login information to access the free trial, use that for the payment. The more difficult it is, the more things people have to do to actually execute a transaction, the less likely it is that they will pay for the product. There are a number of other considerations. One is that free trials aren't free to you. If you're paying for the infrastructure, whether it's Azure or your own hosting environment, there's a cost associated with people using your product without paying for it. It doesn't work for all products. ERP, for example, you can't have a canned demo or a demo that or a pilot that works for everybody. People want to test out their own data. They want to upload their own data. That doesn't normally work with a free trial. So there are ways around that, and one of them is a sandbox. We work with a Dutch company, PSA Software, PSA Assistant Software. It's a professional services automation that's built on CRM 2011. And they provide a sandbox environment. That means that they set up a separate instance for each client. Now that takes a little bit more time, but it also means that the customer is really well qualified because they're uploading their data, they're actually trying it out. Videos and canned demos are another way of showing product functionality. If you don't have one, you should set up your own channel on YouTube and start populating it with 3 to 5 minute videos that go through the different features of your product. And finally, this is one that we like very much, but you can provide a money back guarantee where they pay for the product. That's very difficult for people to buy off on it. They tend to be cynical and they wonder what the process will be to get the money back. But it is one way of getting around the free trial limitations. Now, market segmentation. Mentioned this when we're talking about positioning your product for the enterprise market. Segmentation is very important. You really want to identify the segments, the market segments, the buyer types that are most likely to spend money on a SaaS solution today, because they're not all doing it. The different ways of doing segmentation, one of them is just a broad generic approach, and this is where you have an application that works for everybody. Evernote, Dropbox, SkyDrive, there's really no segmentation. It's everybody that has a computer that stores stuff, that has pictures, movies, whatever, they are a target for it. Then you can have focused and clustered, and this is where you are selling into a specific vertical market or company size, and you become much more focused in your market segmentation. You can also do segmentation by account type of customer. You look at your active customers, you look at the on-premise customers that you might be able to move over, dormant accounts, those are companies that that were interested in buying your on-prem but ultimately didn't pull the trigger. They could be a prospect for your SaaS solution. Hot leads, prospects, suspects. These are simply ways of classifying prospects, and you then adjust and target your marketing message for each one of those profiles. And then how do you cluster them? The importance of segmentation and clustering is that you do have a customized marketing message for each one of the targets. Because if you have different target markets, if you have SMB could be a target market, if enterprise could be a target market, if different verticals could be a target market, then they would expect that they will have some messaging that is relevant to them. So when you're doing this type of segmentation, the purpose of doing it is to have a message that is really focused and honed for a specific partner profile or company profile. So you can do it by region, company size, industry segments, decision makers, buying centers within an organization, lines of business, and influencers. So now that you are developing your marketing messaging, your marketing automation, you're driving leads, at some point you may have salespeople that are going to take over. How do you pay your salespeople? One of the top three questions that we get is, how do we pay our salespeople if you're going to use the same on-premise salespeople? They like to be paid. Salespeople are coin-operated, and they like to sell an on-premise license plus services. They cash in their commission. They don't really like the idea of collecting a commission on X number of users paying $20 per month for some period of time. That really doesn't get them excited. Another question that comes up is, can you use the same salespeople? If you're a smaller organization, you've got 2 or 3 or 4 on-premise salespeople, do you really have the resources to hire someone that's going to be dedicated to selling a cloud solution? In many cases, you don't. You may at some point, as you build up your recurring revenue stream, but initially, you may want to use the same people. This gets back to the number one question that I asked in the first module is that, is the cloud going to be strategic for you, or is it going to be opportunistic? If it's opportunistic, it's simply a line extension, it's a save the deal in case somebody absolutely insists on having a cloud option. You can use the same salespeople, nothing really changes. You effectively want your salespeople to focus on selling on-premise. If it's strategic though, and you've made the decision that you want to move away from on-premise and move into subscription as your business model, then there are different ways of doing that. You can set separate quotas so that a salesperson has their KPIs, and they will have a quota for maybe selling 3 on-premise, and they have to sell 3 or 4 cloud solutions, and so you set a KPI, a metric for each one of them. You can also adjust the commissions. And we've seen this very successfully, done very successfully by a number of companies, and that is where the commission for the on-premise software doesn't reach its full value until they've hit their quota on the cloud. So let's say, for example, that the salesperson has a quota of $1 million for on-prem, and they have a quota of $200,000 for cloud for recurring revenues that they're supposed to generate. Well, you can hold off on paying them the full commission on the $1 million on-prem until they've hit their target for SaaS. And what you'll find is that they will focus a lot of their time and energy on hitting that $200,000 quota so they can start cashing in the full commission on the on-prem. There's another variation on this, and we're seeing it. I'm surprised at how often we're seeing it. We're seeing a number of companies that don't pay commissions at all. They just pay a fixed salary, and then they measure their salespeople based on the targets that they're supposed to achieve. But what that does, it takes the sales compensation out of the equation completely. It means that the salesperson can sit down with the prospect and really work out what's best for that customer. Do they benefit from having this as a subscription model? Are they best served with an on-prem? They can sit down as a very objective advisor and do what's right for the customer. One of the elements in your compensation structure that you have to consider is the importance of renewals. In a SaaS environment, getting a very high renewal rate is going to be the key to your success. When you're selling on-prem, you collect $100,000 upfront, and in some ways, you don't really have to worry too much about the customer for the next 3 or 4 years. But in a SaaS environment, it's so important that they continue to re-up every month or every quarter or every year. They really are the lifeblood. For that reason, we see that companies, the successful SaaS companies, end up splitting the sales role. They have the hunter and the farmer. The hunter is responsible for bringing the deals in, for closing the sales, and then they throw the deal over to the farmer, who's responsible for maintaining the customer relationship, getting the renewals, and upselling. So this is how we also look at how you compensate the salespeople. Sales compensation should always be driven by the value that the salespeople provide to you. So you look at how do you get paid. There are a number of metrics, and we'll talk about this in more detail in a later webinar, but the different metrics for revenue are monthly recurring revenues. So that would be, for example, if you're pricing your solution at $1,000 a month, regardless of whether you're collecting it upfront or you have a longer-term contract, the monthly recurring revenue is $1,000. The annual contract value is 12 months of revenue. It's $12,000. The total contract value is if you sell a contract for longer than 12 months. So if it's $1,000 a month recurring, you might sell a 3-year contract, then the total contract value is $36,000 because that's the obligation that the customer has made. So now let's look at how this impacts the sales commission for your hunters and your farmers. On anything that is less than 12 months, whether that is 1 month at a time, they can opt in, opt out, or whether they sign a 12-month contract, for anything that's 12 months or less, the hunter, and this is just a general model, but it's one that's fairly widely accepted in SaaS, the hunter gets a commission equal to the first month's subscription. So if it's $1,000 a month, their commission is $1,000, which works out to be roughly 8.3% of the annual value of that contract. And that's roughly in line with the commission that a lot of salespeople get for enterprise sales. And I know this can be a little bit confusing, so I'll be going through a numerical example on the next set of slides. But the farmer gets a commission that's tied to what the hunter did. But they get 1/5 or 20% of what the hunting commission is for getting the renewal, and they get an incentive for upselling additional usage or more customers or more users within a customer to an existing account. So let me just take you through a quick example of this. The subscription value is $1,000 per month. The hunter brings the deal in, and they get their commission of $1,000, and they go on to the next project. You now move the relationship over to the farmer. If nothing happens during that year, the customer renews at $1,000 a month. The farmer gets a commission of $200, so 20% of the hunting commission that the hunter received. But if the farmer has done their job, and they've really worked the count, and they've increased the usage, so let's say it's now a $2,000 a month subscription, the farmer gets a commission of $400 on that additional usage. So they really do have an incentive to increase the usage. Now in year two, if the customer renews at $2,000 a month, then the farmer gets a commission of $400, which is that 20% of what the hunting commission was. So what happens when the salesperson comes in and they've signed a 3-year contract? From the salesperson's perspective, they've just brought in $36,000 and they want their commission on that $36,000. Thank you very much. It doesn't actually work that way. On the longer term contracts, in some way, the hunter is the farmer, so they should be compensated for the renewal portion of it. And the model that seems to be working fairly well is that if they bring in a 2-year contract, they would get 100% of their commission for the first year, so they would get the $1,000 for the first year. They would get 60% of their normal commission for the second year, so they would get $600 for the second year, paid up front. So if they bring in a 2-year contract, their total commission would be $1,600. If they bring in a 3-year contract, or 3 years or longer, then they would get 20% of their normal commission for every additional year. So if they bring in a 3-year contract, they would get an additional $200. So they would get a total commission of $1,800. If they bring in a 4-year contract, then it's $2,000 and so on. So they're effectively getting the renewal portion. So they still have an incentive to sign a longer term contract, but they're not getting paid at the same commission rate that they get for bringing the relationship in to start off. And this comes down to what your objective is as a company. Do you want to drive longer term contracts? There's a real benefit to a company knowing that customers are locked in. It flies in the face of what is so appealing about SaaS, that people think they can sign up and then get in and out at any time. But as a business person, you benefit when someone signs for longer term. You know that they're not going to go away. So you have to look at what your objective is and then tie the compensation to that. And some companies implement a program of deferred commissions, especially if they are selling subscriptions that are month to month, if someone can just drop out at any time. And in the deferred commissions, the salesperson would get 50% of their normal commission up front and 50% on the first anniversary date of the contract. Our recommendation is that you don't do that. It's a real disincentive for salespeople, and there could be a lot of reasons why a customer doesn't renew that has nothing to do with the salesperson. Their job is to bring the contract in. They should be paid for that. Your job as a company is to make sure that the customer satisfaction stays at a level that encourages them to renew. So now let's talk a little bit about quotas. Because setting quotas and managing quotas is different in the cloud for subscription models. When you're selling on-prem, a lot of times salespeople end up back-ending a lot of their business. They work during the year, or sometimes they take a little bit of time off at the beginning of the year. They've got $1 million quota, and as long as they hit the quota at the end of the year, you've collected the money, you've got the cash in the bank, the salesperson gets their commission. In the cloud, though, time is money, and it's so important to accelerate the timing of the initial payments and get people to pay sooner rather than later. If you wait and let the salesperson close 12 deals in December, you've lost that revenue for a whole year, and that recurring revenue builds up over time. So there are, this is fairly detailed, but I just want to give you a couple of different models of how you can set and track quotas that encourage and reward salespeople for bringing deals in sooner rather than later. One of them is to track the performance on an annual basis. So you look at what their quota is for the year. So let's say their quota is $500,000 of recurring revenues by the end of the year. Then they get a commission structure tied to how much they've achieved of their annual quota. So if the quota is $500,000, on the first $125,000, for example, they would only get 25% of their normal commission. And then the percentage of their commission increases as they get closer to the annual quota. This means that if they hit their annual quota by mid-year, then they're going to get overpaid for the rest of the year because they've accelerated the process. Another way of looking at that is measuring their performance on a quarterly basis. It's taking that $500,000 annual quota and looking at it on a quarterly basis and see what percentage of the prorated quota they've actually hit, and then tie their commission to how well they did in the first quarter. If they come in and they do $200,000 in Q1, then they get a much higher commission on whatever they sell in Q2. So again, it really rewards the salespeople that bring deals in early, and it penalizes the ones that aren't effective. And by doing that, you will effectively weed out the salespeople that aren't good performers because they're not making enough money to stay alive. I want to mention a business modeling tool that Microsoft has developed for its Microsoft partners, and it's exclusively available for Microsoft partners. It's a comprehensive online business modeling tool that takes you through every aspect of a cloud business. You go through your pricing structure, Azure consumption, customer segmentation, your go-to-market strategies, and it looks at all of the different ways of going to market, from fully automated to telesales to direct sales to channels, and you can allocate costs and percentages of deals that go through those different channels. It builds in your churn rates, and you can play with that, and this feeds into a 4-year monthly P&L. And then you can play with all of the assumptions. You can change your pricing, you can change your churn rate, you can change your go-to-market mix, you can change your customer segmentation mix, and all of this will then feed in real-time and update the P&L. It's a fantastic modeling tool. It's a great way of looking at how you should build your business. It's made available exclusively to Microsoft partners. It does have a lot of features, so it requires some training, and we're doing that through a 3-hour tutorial. It's $795. During the tutorial, we set you up with your own user ID. We start feeding in your own data. We take you through the entire model and answer questions that are specific to you, so that at the end of the tutorial, you have your own working model with your own projections that you can play with. To register for it, just go into our website, and the bottom right of our website, there is a link to the tool, and you go in there and you fill in your information and you'll be contacted to get this set up. Now, I do want to remind you again that this is one of a series of webinars. And the first one, we talked about the key strategic decisions that you need to make. We've discussed the target markets for a cloud solution, the sales and marketing strategy. And the next one coming up, we'll be talking about how you price your solution, which is a big issue for ISVs. We'll then look at financial metrics, how you measure your performance on an ongoing basis. And finally, we'll talk about the legal issues that are specific to the cloud. Here's my contact information. Feel free to send me an email or give me a call if there are any questions that I can help you with. And as I mentioned, I am logging in, so if you're viewing this live and if you have any questions, please type them in and I will do my best to answer those questions for you. And thank you very much for your time today.